Well, please have your Bible open at Psalm 7. Have you ever been in the situation when someone suddenly decides that they don't like you? There's lots of people smiling at that, so it's clearly a situation that many of us have been in. It's a horrible, horrible place to be in, isn't it? It's terrible when people decide that for whatever reason, they don't like you anymore. And then, to make matters worse, they start spreading false rumors about you, gossiping behind your back, telling lies about you, and trying to affect the way that other people see you as well. They try and turn your friends against you. This sort of thing is happening on social media all the time nowadays. They may even try and turn your family against you. If it's in the workplace, they may try and stop you getting a promotion. Or even worse, they may try and create a situation where you lose your job. And as far as you can tell, you have done nothing to these people in order to upset them or hurt them or anything like that. But for some reason, whatever it is, they've decided that they do not like you and they're determined to hurt you. They're determined to try and make your life as difficult as possible. Now, this is an area where I have got personal experience, a lot like many other people have. Shortly after I started working for the company I was working for as a scientist, I became aware that one member of the scientific team had a lifestyle which was not in line with God's word at all. I found out that she was a lesbian. Now, she was quite a forthright lady, and I made sure that I didn't say anything to anyone about her lifestyle, because as a Christian, it's a lifestyle that I stood against, but to bring it into the workplace would have caused all sorts of difficulties. So I was very careful not to make any comments to anyone, even though lots of other people didn't like her, and there was lots of gossip about her. And it was all going well. But then one day, she found out I was a Christian. It was in a crazy way as well. We were sitting there, you know, a group of us around the table in the canteen, and there was a magazine there, and it was one of these magazines where it had people's homes. And someone had just put in tiles, lettering above the tiles on the fireplace, a Bible verse. And I just said, oh, that's from the Bible. And she goes, how do you know that? I said, oh, well, I'm a Christian. And she looked me in the eye and said, I do not like you anymore. And from that point, she was incredibly unpleasant to me. Regularly using language towards me, which can't be repeated on TV. And one time, she caught me when I was by myself, and she said, this time next week, you are going to be down the job centre. And she went to my manager, and she made a formal complaint about me. And over the course of about 18 months, I know of three occasions where she made formal complaints about me. She was trying to get me fired. She was determined to do me harm just because I was a Christian. Has anyone else ever been in a situation like that? Yeah, a few people have. And I know down south that some of the people that we used to know down there, they'd also been in situations where people had tried to get them fired just because they were a Christian. Sadly, it's a situation that we do encounter every so often. And the thing is, the things we go through in this world, they're nothing new. Because here in Psalm 7, we've got David going through a similar situation. Psalm 7 was entitled by Spurgeon, the Slandered Christian's Call for Justice. That's what he called it. And here we have a record of an incident in David's life. Now, we're not sure when this incident happened. We don't know if it was during the time when he was being chased by King Saul, or just before then, or whether it happened during the time when he was king and his son Absalom rebelled against him. But it's clear that David has done nothing wrong. But an enemy has risen up unexpectedly, and it looks like his enemy is going to get the upper hand People are believing the lies that have been told about David. They're listening to the gossip. They're turning against him. And things are looking bleak. So, what does David do? Does he take his stand and prepare to fight? Does he try and run away? Not at all. He does what we should all do in a situation like this. He turns to the Lord his God and takes refuge in him. And this is what we should always do when we're faced with situations like this. We shouldn't try to fight our own corner, to stand up to someone, to counter the rumours against us with other rumours. We should turn to the Lord our God, who knows all things. We should turn to him and remember just who he is. He is the true and living God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. In his hands are all power, all authority, and nothing is too difficult for him. And we also need to remember the incredible love that he has for each one of us. He knew all about us before he created this world. He loves us so much that he sent his son to be our Lord and Savior. And Jesus loves us so much, he hung on a cross, going through that physical torment, while at the same time bearing the weight of the Father's anger against sin, because he loves us. This is how much God loves each one of us, and he arranges things in our lives to look after us. And we receive this because of the Lord's incredible, indescribable grace and mercy and love. After he's done all of this for you, do you really think he's going to abandon you to some slanderous remarks from someone who isn't a Christian? Of course he isn't. Because of who he is, because of the love that he has for us, when we find ourselves in these situations, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear because God is with us. Because God will work all things for good for the believer. But that doesn't mean we should be complacent. We should never underestimate the danger. And here in this psalm, David is very much aware of the danger that he's in. And he's realistic about the things that are coming towards him. He's not one of these people who's got his head in the clouds. And he's so distant from the things of the earth, he doesn't understand what's going on. David knows that this is really dangerous. And his thoughts go back to the days when he was a shepherd boy. Remember King David? He started off as a shepherd boy, just tending the sheep. And he used to protect the sheep from all sorts of animals, bears and lions. And he knows how vulnerable a lamb is, how vulnerable a sheep is to a lion. Many times he had to fight them off to protect his flock. And he knows that a sheep that is abandoned to the lion will be absolutely ripped apart. And for us today as Christians, we have to remember that we are often described as sheep. And we have an adversary who's described as being like a roaring lion, who goes around looking for someone to devour. And that someone is, of course, our adversary, Satan. And he will often stir up people. He will stir up your colleagues. He will stir up your friends. He may even stir up your family members against you, simply because you are a Christian. Because he is seeking to do everything he can to destroy and to damage our witness and our Christian growth. So if you're a Christian here this morning, you should never, ever be surprised if you find yourself in this situation where someone decides they don't like you for no reason at all. It should not be a surprise to you at all. And if it does happen, if someone does decide to start having a go at you because you were a Christian, you should take it as a badge of honor. Because only those with an effective witness are the ones who get attacked. And while this is going on, we need to remember that we do not stand alone. Just like the sheep need a shepherd to save and protect them, we are only safe Because God is our refuge. Because God is our fortress. And even though the danger is very real, we know that we have nothing to fear. But of course, when situations like this turn up, then we do need to stop and think, which is what David does now in verses 3 to 5. We must always carefully think about what is going on and ask ourselves the question, have I done something unintentionally to cause this person to start having a go at me? We've got to remember that we're not squeaky clean. We do make mistakes. Even though we're people who have been saved, we still live in a sinful world and we still have sinful tendencies. And it is possible for us to hurt each other. Anyone who's spent any time in church will know how Christians can accidentally hurt each other. So we must never look at ourselves with rose-tinted spectacles on thinking, oh, we're squeaky clean. We need to ask ourselves a question. Have we offended anyone? Have we caused offense without realizing it? So when someone does start making allegations against us, we need to stop and prayerfully ponder, like David does, and ask yourself, have you done anything wrong? And if you have done anything wrong, you need to be willing to bear the consequences for it. One of the great freedoms that we have is that we make a lot of decisions ourselves. And that's a great freedom. But with decisions, there always comes responsibility. If you're free to make a decision, then you bear the responsibility of that decision. Which means that when we make a mistake, we're responsible for our actions. And this is something that every Christian should understand very clearly, because it's that moment of understanding and realization is part of that great, wonderful moment when we become a Christian. When we realize that we've made mistakes, when we realize that we've done things wrong, and we take responsibility for them and not try and blame other people, and we turn to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I have done things wrong. There is nothing I can do about it. All I can do is take responsibility and ask for forgiveness, ask for repentance. For the Christian, that's part of who we are. The acknowledgement that we are not squeaky clean. The acknowledgement that we are not right and that we have to trust in Jesus to set us right. And that awareness should go down through our lives as well. Being aware that we can make mistakes. That we do get things wrong. That we do accidentally hurt people. And when you hurt people who are not Christians, sadly sometimes even when you hurt people who are Christians, the usual response is sinful action. Behaving in a way that is not right. So that people start having a go at you. And you don't realize you've done anything wrong, so you think it's for no reason. We need to carefully stop and think. And if we've done something wrong, ask for forgiveness. Not try and justify our behavior, but be open and honest and prayerful about it. And maybe the person will forgive us. That does happen sometimes. And we need to be ready to ask for forgiveness. But that's not the case here in this psalm. You see, David, he goes through this in verse 3. Lord my God, if I have done this and there's guilt on my hand, if I repay my ally with evil and all that, then let me sleep in the dust. He's saying, if I've done something wrong, yes, I deserve this punishment. But he goes on, doesn't he, in verse 6, and he starts talking about the Lord's judgment. Because David has examined himself. And he knows that he's not guilty of the charges. He knows. Isn't it great when you're having a good sermon, you get to disruption like that. Now, what did I say? It's a sign that you're being effective when people start coming in. Anyway, we need to be like David. When we examine ourselves and we see that we have done nothing wrong, if we are innocent, we search our hearts and know that we're innocent, then it's right that we call for justice. Because if we are innocent, we know that an innocent man has nothing to fear from his day in court. Especially when the judge can read every motive of the heart and inner impulse like a book. We have to remember, don't we, who the judge is. We know from the New Testament that the one who would judge all these things is the one who hung on the cross for us. The one who loves us. We have nothing to fear from him because of his incredible love for us. And this really does make us safe. And the thing is, he really cares about his people. He knows the things that you are going through. He knows the things that you are feeling. He knows what someone is saying behind your back. He knows what is in their heart and the malice and what's driving that. And he is able to move to protect you, and he's able to move to vindicate you. So when the time is right, as we see in verses 6 to 9, justice will be done. And in this psalm, we see God's sovereignty and power being emphasized again as the assembled people gather around his throne. God is clearly the one in control. And this is a picture we see time and time again in the Old Testament, where God is sort of there as the emperor above everything, and the peoples of the earth gather around his feet to see his justice being done. And he is righteous. He is holy. He is spotless. He is perfect. He is pure. He is just. And he sees all things and he knows all things. He wants us to be shown to be in the right, so we have nothing to fear. And who doesn't want to be shown in the right? When someone is going around telling lies about you, trying to turn your friends and your family against you, you want to be shown to be in the right. You want the charges against you to be shown false. You want to be declared innocent, and you want justice to be done. For David, this call for personal vindication leads on to the call for an end to the violence of the wicked. And if we just look at verse 9 there, his prayer, how this should be our prayer for today. Bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. You, the righteous God who probes minds and hearts. As we look at our world around us, which is disintegrating into chaos, as violence is increasing, as darkness seems to grow, surely that should be our prayer, to bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. We should long for the day when the wickedness and evil of this world will be done away with, and the righteous will be vindicated, when there will be no more sorrow or suffering or war or death, when we will be finally secure with nothing to fear whatsoever. That day will come, absolutely certainly, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. He has been given all authority and all power, and he will bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. We long for that day. We yearn for that day. And we have to ask, don't we, why is it delayed? Why are we still waiting? Well, the answer is simple. It's because God is a merciful God. He holds off that great day of justice to give people an opportunity to turn away from their wrongdoing, to admit that they're living their lives in a way that is not right in God's sight. As Christians, we have to accept this, and we have to remember that we are saved because of God's grace and his patience. Judgment Day could have been 200 years ago, and then where would we be? But God holds off that great day of judgment because he is patient and he wants to give people an opportunity to repent. But one of the consequences of that is that as Christians, we find ourselves living in this world where we see blessings and troubles mixed together. And we should be willing to bear the scorn and difficulty this brings, even when it means that we're falsely secured. Because we know that this is the opportunity people have got to turn to the Lord for repentance. So we may suffer some difficulties, but it means that at the end of the day, there will be more people in glory. And it means that more people will have the opportunity to experience that same grace and mercy and patience that we have experienced. But as we talk about God's patience, we also have to remember that his patience is not for all eternity. That day has been set. God's patience will not last forever. And in our psalm here, in Psalm 7, the psalm turns from this call for vindication to a celebration of security to a great warning for the wicked. Verse 11, God is a righteous judge who displays his wrath every day. While the great day of judgment is held off for the future, it is certain. It could be this afternoon. It could be in 200 years' time. We do not know. No one on earth knows. But we know that it will come along. What we do see in the world around us, though, is the first echoes of that judgment. Because we see that people who persist in living a sinful, wicked, evil lifestyle, they get trapped, don't they, by the things that they do. And this is God's mighty hand. He's working to deliver and save his people. And his mighty hand brings people face to face with their sin to shake some sense into them, to bring them to repentance. One of the consequences of being a sinner, that's someone who doesn't measure up to God's standards, is living a sinful lifestyle. And a sinful lifestyle is not fun. A sinful lifestyle is filled with disappointment. It's filled with desires which can never be fulfilled. And it's filled with all sorts of consequences. So many of the things that we recognize as sins are also recognized as crimes by our land. So people end up in trouble with the police. People end up with family breakdown. People end up with addiction to various substances. All because they are living a sinful lifestyle. One of the consequences of being a sinner is that sinful lifestyle. And that sinful lifestyle, despite what the media says, does not bring joy and satisfaction, but it brings pain and yearning. And this is one of the ways that God moves to bring people to their senses. And people do really dig a pit for themselves. You so often see the case that when people plan evil for someone else, eventually it comes back and it catches up with them. They do dig a pit for themselves. The trouble they cause recoils on them. Their violence comes down on their own heads. This morning, is that you? Are you someone who knows that you are living in a way that is not pleasing to God? This morning, are you someone who, if you had to stand before God's throne of grace today, you feel you would have something to hide? Because if you do, then you're not a Christian. We need to be people who have turned to Jesus and asked for forgiveness for everything, so that the one who searches hearts, the one who searches minds, will look at us and then we'll just see the shed blood of Jesus there, and we will be declared innocent of all charges. So this morning, if you're someone who feels that you cannot stand before God because you've got something to hide, then please come and chat to me afterwards, or chat to one of the leaders, and we can discuss these things. The first thing you've got to do is take responsibility for your own actions. The first thing you've got to do is say, yes, I've actually done this. I am guilty. I am responsible. Please forgive me. And if you turn to God and really mean it, and if you really want to turn away from that old life, then you will be forgiven. And once you're forgiven, you have nothing to fear from that great throne of grace. Because we have to remember that one day, each and every person will stand before God. They will stand in front of that seat of judgment. And we're either going to be declared innocent because of what Jesus has done, or we're going to have to bear the consequences of our own behavior. This is the wonder of the Christian message. Complete forgiveness because of what Jesus has done. But sadly, some people never seem to learn it. They can come along to church each and every week and sit under that message, but they do not realize who Jesus is, what he's done, and what they need to do in order to be saved. And sadly, there's many people out there in the world who show no signs of changing at all. People who keep on going with their desire to hurt other people. Let's go back to my opening story when I talked about the lady who tried to get me sacked. I know that over the course of 18 months, she made at least 3 formal complaints about me to management. And in each case, all I could do about it was pray about the situation. But my prayers were answered, praise the Lord. Her allegations were ignored. She did have a reputation for this kind of behavior, so they knew what she was like. And eventually she left over some minor issue. Then, much to our surprise, she returned in a different department. And all she did was moan about the people who had gone before her and said that they'd made a terrible mess of things. But over the course of about a year, her actions were seen, and she, in the end, she got sacked. Well, I went on to work for that company for another 6 years or so after that, before I was called into ministry. And if we find ourselves in a similar situation, we can also be confident that the Lord will move behind the scenes to vindicate his people. We have nothing to fear. So we should be a people who give thanks to the Lord because he's righteous. We should be a people who are open about being a Christian, unashamed, even if it means that we do get some sort of trouble coming down on our heads, even if it means that people start having a go at us, because we know that the Lord is with us, and his righteousness is wonderful. We know that whatever people say about us is going to be tried before the Lord, and with him, we know that there are no double standards, there are no mistakes. We know that he sees through into our mind, into our hearts. And we know that he will vindicate his name, because his name is tied to his people, so that we have nothing to fear, whatever this world throws at us. Amen.